Today I'm going to be reporting on soybean aphid as a vector of potato leaf roll virus. And for those of you who don't work with potato or don't grow potatoes, you'll have to believe me that potato leaf roll virus is an important virus in potato. It can reduce yields by up to 80%, and it can also reduce quality and because of a condition called net necrosis. Now, potato leaf roll virus is a luteovirus. It's only transmitted by aphids. It's phloem restricted, meaning that most of the vectors that colonize potato leaf roll have to be aphids that can actually reach the phloem, and those are thought of as colonizing aphid species. Now, luteovirus is persistent, so once the aphid, potato leaf roll virus is persistently transmitted, so once the aphid acquires the virus, it can transmit for life, and it's circulative. So as those virus particles get into the aphid, move into the digestive system, move through the gut wall, from the midgut to the hindgut, into the hemocell, then pass to the accessory salivary glands before they can then be salivated and transmitted. So with that being the case, it takes there is a latent period for once that aphid has acquired the virus. Now it takes minutes to hours to acquire that virus because that aphid, once again, has to reach that phloem, has to ingest phloem sap, and then to transmit, once again, hours to minutes, or minutes to hours, because it has to, once again, reach phloem and then salivate. Now, there are many vectors of potato viruses in the north central region. Those in the blue that I've shown here are ones that can colonize potato, Mysis persicae being the most efficient vector of both potato leaf roll virus and potato virus Y. Now, part of the work that I did in my master's was to show that a new invasive species, Aphis glycines, can transmit a non-persistently transmitted virus, potato virus Y. But one of the questions we wanted to ask was, could it transmit leaf roll? Now, the reason we asked this was because we did see some small transmission of potato leaf roll virus in our mass inoculation studies for transmission of PBY. Our potato virus source that had PBY also had some leaf roll in it, and we did see small transmission. But also in the last couple years, we've seen some late season infection of leaf roll. When we go to do our winter grow out tests in Hawaii, we take leaf samples, test those for virus, and we've been seeing higher and higher levels of leaf roll showing up. Now, we know soybean aphid is landing in our potato fields from our aphid trapping networks, but one of the first questions we wanted to ask, can it colonize potato? In the field, we haven't seen colonization, but it can colonize a closely related Solanum species, horse nettle. So we did life table studies using three important cultivars of potato, Russet Burbank, Russet Norcota, and Red Lasota. And typically what we do is we take apterous adults, clip cage those onto the abaxial surface of a potato leaf, come back 12 hours later, remove all those adults and all those first instars except for one, and for each first instar underneath each of these clip cages then become the cohort for that test. We wanted to compare that to green peach aphid, which we know colonizes potato. And essentially what I'm showing you, I'm not going to show you all the age-specific life tables or survivorship curves. Here I'm just showing you cultivar Russet Burbank, and we see that green peach aphid has a nice type 2 curve. We have good survivorship, good reproduction. Glycines, within the first 24 hours, only 30% of those first instars are surviving. By day 3, all of them have perished. So soybean aphid is not colonizing potato. But the next step is, we wanted to know if it's not colonizing potato, but it is, we know it is at least probing on potato, is it feeding and salivating long enough to acquire the virus? So we used electrical penetration graphs, and we wanted to compare colonizing versus non-colonizing species. We used a Gigafor DC system. We used the Windac-like software to visualize and record on a computer this feeding behavior. Our potato line that we used was Russet Burbank again. Mysis persicae in comparison to soybean aphid, 30 aphids per line, and we wanted to look in within those first 4 hours, were there any differences in feeding behavior. We looked at pre-probe duration, xylem phase duration, sieve element salivation, so that's when leaf roll would be transmitted, and phloem sap ingestion, that's when it would be acquired. What did we find? Well, essentially no significant differences in any of those. So no difference in pre-probe, no difference in xylem. So the aphid, at least soybean aphid, is, if it's not acquiring nutrients to survive, it's acquiring water to at least not become dehydrated. No difference in sieve element salivation, so it's able to transmit, it should be able to put those virus particles in the phloem just as efficiently as Mysis persicae, and we see that it's acquiring those just equally too. So we know it's landing in potato, it's feeding on potato, but it's not surviving on potato. Next step was to actually see, can it acquire, retain, and transmit the virus? So what we did is we took groups of 5, 10, or single soybean aphids. We starved those for 2 hours, and then we would clip cage them using those same clip cages that I showed before on the abaxial surface of a leaf roll infected potato plant, and then would assay each of those by RT-PCR using leaf roll primers. Did they actually acquire that after 24 hours? The next step was to see if the virus would then be retained in the aphid. Once again, groups of 5, 10, or single aphids, clip cage to the abaxial surface of the plant, and then placed on soybean plants for either 72 hours or 144 hours. Now, soybean is not a host for leaf roll, and so the thought is that as they're feeding on these soybean plants, we should wash out all those leaf roll particles out of those aphids, and only the virus particles that are within the aphid should then be retained. And so once again, assayed by RT-PCR. And then finally, transmission. Groups of only 5 or single aphids, starved for 2 hours, put on leaf roll infected plants for 24 hours, then moved to soybean plants for 144 hours. Afterwards, placed on virus-free potato plants, and then tested by ELISA for a leaf roll. What did we find? Yes, soybean aphid can acquire leaf roll. It does so at a much better level in single aphid than it does in groups of 5 or 10, possibly because, you know, it's an artifact of the clip cage. There may be some kind of alarm pheromones that are somehow disrupting any kind of feeding behaviors in that. It does retain the virus at 72 hours and 144 hours, and we get some transmission, 6 to 9%. Now, this is very low in comparison to green peach aphid, which is a very efficient vector, close to 100% in transmission of leaf roll. And so what does this mean in the field sense? You've shown in the greenhouse that it can transmit. And one of the concerns that we have is that one of the cultural techniques that we use for non-persistent virus control is soybean borders or crop borders. Now, here we have 4 rows of soybeans surrounding our 4 rows of potatoes. And what this does is that as aphids come in, they may land on these soybean plants. For non-persistent viruses, they feed, attempt to feed, or attempt to probe, can lose the virus, and then as they move into those potato plants, they cannot transmit as long as they can't acquire any virus within here. Now, for leaf roll, on the other hand, it's not going to be disrupted by this crop border because it cannot get its mouth parts washed off. It's a persistent transmission. But what's concerned is this is a very effective crop border. It's used quite a bit in the north central region, and that's because the herbicides that we use to control weeds and potato also work well for soybean. So what we wanted to ask was, if we have high levels of soybean aphids in these crop borders, especially on the rows that border almost and touch the potatoes, can we get any kind of leaf roll transmission, either if there is some small level of leaf roll in the seed lot, or if aphids flying in, come in, transmit, and then subsequent transmission. So what I'm going to be showing you here, we have cumulative insect days on the y-axis, on the x-axis, we have our different sampling points. 2002, 2004, and 2005 data, those in the dashed lines were treated, so we had borders that were either treated or untreated. We used Warrior to control soybean aphids. Those in the solid lines were untreated. And what we can see is that in 2002, we had moderate levels of cumulative insect days. We had some soybean aphids there. In 2004, we had no significant difference between the treated or untreated, so we had very low levels. But in 2005, we had extreme levels of soybean aphid. What were our leaf roll transmissions? There were no significant difference by chi-square. In the 2002, we had very high levels of virus, but nothing different between the treated or untreated. Very low levels in 2004. But in 2005, at this extreme cumulative insect days, we did have some transmission of soybean, or of potato leaf roll virus. So in conclusion, soybean aphid is a vector of leaf roll. It is a very poor and inefficient vector, 6 to 9%. But if you think about the sheer numbers of this aphid coming off soybean, it's actually going to make up for that low efficiency, just in numbers. Now, we know a soybean aphid doesn't survive on potato, but it does feed, at least in the first 4 hours, as efficiently as Mysis persicae. meaning there's as long as it has the virus, it should be able to transmit as efficiently. And more importantly, we've shown in the field that under high cumulative insect days, soybean aphid can influence current season spread of leaf roll. And with that, I'll take any questions if I have time. Yes. Thank you very much. Yes?
Do you think TPA stays on potatoes the same way it does under your clip cages or any other plant that might acquire the virus?
Soybean aphid or green peach aphid? I'm sorry.
Soybean aphid.
So the question was, do I think soybean aphid stays as long? If it wasn't on a clip cage. Well, in the electronic penetration graphs, they are still tethered, but they can move around. It's what you do is you take a gold wire, you stick it onto the aphid with silver paint, and they are allowed to be able to move on that plant. We see no significant difference in that pre-probe duration. I can probably go back. Okay. Yep. Any other questions?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.